Next, we have a lost show from the series The FBI in Peace and War. Although not regarded as an anthology show, the stories are mostly standalone. Here's The Pin Boy.
American Radio Theater presents a lost show from the days of old-time radio. We take you back to 1949.
Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Brought to you by the makers of L-A-V-A, Lava Soap.
The soap that cleans extra dirty hands in 30 to 50 seconds. Nothing on earth cleans dirty hands faster, cleaner, yet more gently than amazing Lava Soap. And now tonight's story, The Pin Boy.
Johnny Drusek!
Yeah?
You want it in the front office. Let Sid take your alley.
Okay. Hey, Sid, take my alley. I'll be right back.
Okay, I got it.
Step on it, Johnny.
All right. Keep your shirt on.
Come on.
What's the trouble? I got a beautiful blonde waiting.
No, you got a cop and two FBI guys waiting.
A cop? FBI?
Yeah.
They want to see me?
Yeah, it's about that shooting last night.
What? What do they want me for?
I don't know. You ask them.
Eddie, wait.
Yeah?
You didn't tell them.
Nah, it was Shorty told them. He said you were closing up the place last night when that guy got shot. He said you must have seen the whole thing.
That dirty little loudmouth. If I ever get my hands on him.
You did see it, didn't you?
You mind your business, I'll mind mine.
Okay. Come on, they're waiting for you. Okay, gents, here he is, Johnny Drusek.
Come in, Johnny, and sit down. These gentlemen would like to talk to you.
We questioned Johnny Drusek for several hours on the morning after the killing of Agent Thompson of the narcotics squad, but Johnny Drusek wouldn't talk. We tried every angle, explaining fully the seriousness of the situation.
Johnny, a federal officer has been killed trying to do his duty. You saw that killing, Johnny.
I didn't see anything, I tell you. I didn't.
Johnny, we know that Officer Thompson had a warrant for the arrest of Dixie Smith. Now, even if Dixie is your boss, Johnny...
I didn't see anything. You can't make me say I did when I didn't.
We tried everything, but Johnny Drusek wouldn't talk that morning. We knew from reconstruction of the events of the night before that he had actually seen the man who shot Agent Thompson, but Johnny wouldn't talk. After consultation with the Justice Department, we obtained an order to hold Johnny Drusek as a material witness.
Drusek.
Yeah?
Want to see your lawyer?
Haven't got any lawyer. I don't want to see anybody.
Sure you do, kid. I'm here to help you. Okay, Matt, give me 15 minutes with the kid.
Sure, counselor. Take all the time you want.
Hello, Johnny. How you feeling this morning?
I don't want any lawyer. Beat it, mister.
Johnny, Dixie sent me.
Huh?
Dixie sent me. He told me to arrange your bail. You'll be out of here in a couple of days.
Dixie sent you to get me out?
Sure. You didn't think he'd forget one of his friends, did you?
Dixie, he...
Sure. He said to me, Max, that kid is okay. Take care of him.
He said that? Dixie?
Sure.
Where is he, mister? He's safe, isn't he?
Sure, he's safe, kid. As long as none of his friends open their mouths. Know what I mean?
I didn't talk, mister.
The name is Max, kid.
I didn't talk, Max. I haven't told him anything.
Are you sure?
I swear.
Why?
Why what?
Didn't you talk? You like Dixie, huh?
Like him? He's the greatest guy in the world.
He is.
Yeah, he is. The greatest.
Treated you kids nice, huh?
Yeah, he treated me nice.
Uh-huh. Johnny.
Yeah?
What happened night before last? What did you actually see? You can tell me, kid.
Well, I was closing up the place for the night. I
Go ahead. It's all right.
Well, I fixed the back door, and I was coming around the side alley to go home. All of a sudden, I saw Dixie come running by with this guy after him. The guy yelled, "Stop or I'll shoot!" But Dixie didn't stop. He started going up the fire escape. Then the guy started shooting. I ducked into the doorway. There was a whole bunch of shots, and when it was all over, Dixie was gone. This guy was lying there in the alley with the hole right through his neck.
You sure you haven't told this to anybody, Johnny?
Dixie said I was his friend, didn't he?
Ah, you bet, kid. You're a real friend. And he won't ever forget it. Don't worry. When this is all over, you're going to be one of the boys. Don't worry.
Me? One of Dixie's boys?
Yeah, you'd like that?
I...
Okay, you'd like it. Now look, we don't want anything to happen to Dixie, do we?
You bet we don't.
Okay, now I'm going to spring you out of here on a writ of habeas corpus. When you get out, how would you like to take a trip? Florida, maybe. All expenses paid.
A trip?
Yeah, till this blows over. All expenses paid. And maybe, just maybe, a friend of yours might go along on the trip. Who knows?
Dixie?
Maybe. What do you say? It's a deal?
What do you think I say?
Okay, it's a deal. Now, just keep your mouth shut. Understand? Whatever they ask you, you don't know. Understand?
Sure.
Yeah, you're one of Dixie's boys now. Just remember that. Dixie's boys don't talk.
Don't worry. I'll remember. I won't talk.
All right, Johnny. One more question. You said you were out in the street. You heard a noise like the backfiring of a car.
Yeah, but I didn't see anything. I didn't see a thing.
All right, Johnny. That's all for this morning.
Johnny Drusack wouldn't talk, and time is getting short.
Shep?
Yes?
Judge Davis just called. Johnny's lawyer has applied for a writ of habeas corpus.
Oh, fine. How much time did the judge give us?
24 hours. If we can't find Dixie Smith and press our charge, I'll have to let the boy go.
24 hours.
That's all.
Any word from Mills and Tucker?
Not yet. They've covered every place in town. If Dixie is hiding out here, he has to have an awfully good spot.
Okay, Frank. We'll ask Andrews to give us some extra men on this. But I don't think we're going to find Dixie Smith in the next 24 hours.
Yeah?
It's me, Ma. Max.
Oh, Max. Hello, dearie. I can't tell you without my glasses.
Thanks.
He's waiting for you in the parlor. Go on in.
Okay.
And thank goodness you got here. He's driving me nuts with this gin rummy game. Morning, noon, and night. Gin rummy.
Ma!
It's Max, Dixie. Gin rummy for breakfast, gin rummy for lunch.
Hello, Dixie.
Hello, Max. You lost $1.05 on that game, Ma.
All right, dearie. I'll take it off your bill.
How do you like that? I pay her $200 a week for hiding out in this flea bag, and she won't give me $1.05 cash. All right, dearie. Go hustle us a couple of beers. And put that on your bill, too.
Don't worry, dearie. I will. Make yourself comfortable, Max.
All right, Ma.
Okay, Max, sit down. What's the story? You saw the kid?
Uh-huh.
What'd he say?
You want a quote?
Come on, come on. What'd he say?
He said, Dixie is the greatest guy in the world.
What?
He said there's nothing he wouldn't do for his pal, Dixie Smith.
Come off it, Max.
I'm telling you, some kids make heroes out of ball players. Some of them want to be president. This kid would roll over and play dead for Dixie Smith.
Well, what do you know about that? Say, Max, which one of the kids is he? The blonde one with the limp?
Nah, he's kind of dark with a broad, square face. Johnny Drusack.
Drusack.
Kind of pug-nosed, homely kid.
And he thinks I'm a great guy?
Yeah.
Well, what do you know about that?
Dixie.
When are you getting him out, Max?
Maybe tomorrow, maybe today. Dixie.
Yeah?
I know it's none of my business, but do you have to get rid of the kid?
Huh?
He won't ever talk, Dixie. I guarantee that.
I told you, Max, as long as that kid is alive, I'm liable for a murder rap.
I know, but if he won't talk...
All right, he won't talk now. He won't talk 6 months from now. But someday somebody gets to him, someday he forgets Dixie is a great guy.
All right, Dixie.
The only kind of kid that won't talk is a kid that can't talk because he's 6 feet under.
Okay, Dixie.
Did you give him the proposition about going to Florida?
Uh-huh.
He fell for it?
Uh-huh.
Stop saying uh-huh.
Oh, all right. I only meant if you get rid of the kid...
Who's talking about me? You don't think I'd do the job myself?
No.
No. Ma's getting me a guy named Rudy Orman from Jersey City. You tell the kid this Rudy's going to drive us down to Florida. Rudy gets the kid out on some country road. Phone, Ma!
Yeah, maybe that's for me. I told my office to call me the minute they heard.
Phone, Ma.
All right, Gary. All right, I got you. Hello?
Hello, is this Mean 1426?
Yeah, this is it.
This is Max's office calling. Let me speak to him.
Okay. It's for you, Max.
Yeah, thanks, Ma. Yeah, Harry, what happened?
Judge Davis granted the writ, Max. They're letting the boy go this afternoon.
Okay, Harry. I'll be there to take care of it.
Right, Max. I'll be seeing you.
Be seeing you, Harry.
Well?
They're releasing the boy this afternoon.
Okay. Ma, call that friend of yours in Jersey City. Tell him we'll need him this Saturday.
Sure, Dixie.
Max, you go to the jail and get hold of the kid. Don't let him out of your sight till Saturday.
Okay, Dixie. But don't you think...
I told you what I think. The only kind of kid that won't talk is a kid that can't talk. Get going, Max. The sooner we fix this, the better.
Back to the FBI's investigation of the Pin Boy in a moment. But now, let's reenact our investigation of Mrs. Margaret Powers of Yonkers, mother of 5 children.
Mrs. Powers, when all those children wash up after play, how come your towels don't get dirt streaked?
That trouble's gone since I discovered lava soap. No matter how grimy those youngsters are, lava gets them really clean fast. There's no dirt left on hands to wipe off on towels.
L-A-V-A. And now back to the FBI in Peace and War, and tonight's story, The Pin Boy.
Max, you go over to the jail and get hold of the kid. Don't let him out of your sight till Saturday.
Okay, Dixie, but don't you think...
I told you what I think. The only kind of kid that won't talk is a kid that can't talk. Get going, Max. The sooner we fix this, the better.
Johnny Trusak.
Yeah?
Order just came through for your release, Johnny. Come along, son. Your lawyer's waiting outside.
Gee, Max, that was fast, wasn't it?
Sure, they can't fool around with me, kid. I told you I'd have you out of there in a couple of days, didn't I?
You sure did, Max.
Yeah, don't worry, I know how to handle that FBI crowd.
I'll say you do, but good.
Come on, we'll grab a cab up at the corner.
Max?
Yeah?
Am I going to see Dixie?
Huh?
Well, you said if we go to Florida...
Oh, yeah, sure. You'll see Dixie on Saturday. But he figured you'd better stay out of my place till then.
Your place?
Yeah, my apartment. Of course, if you want to go home.
Home? You know where I've been sleeping the last 6 months? Carson's garage down on First Avenue.
Okay, then, my place is fine. Clean sheets and a genuine oriental rug on the floor.
And the shower, Max? One of those things with a glass door?
The works, kid. I got everything. And all of it's there whenever one of Dixie's boys wants to use it.
Dixie's boys? You don't mean me, Max.
Yeah, who else? Hey, taxi!
Max, am I really...
I'm telling you, aren't I? You're in. Johnny Drusak is one of the boys. Taxi! Hop in, kid. 719 West 81st Street, Mac. And go through the park, will you? We want to get some fresh air.
Max, you really mean...
Look, kid, I was told to take good care of you. Now, what do you think that means?
I guess it means what you said, Max. Johnny Drusak is one of the boys.
Subject, John Drusack, confidential report. Subject left Federal Street Courthouse in company of lawyer Max Hiller. Hiller and subject took taxi to Hiller's apartment at 719 West 81st Street. Subject entered apartment at 10 a.m., remained till 6 p.m., at which time...
And subject was accompanied by Hiller to local restaurant, after which both returned to the Hiller apartment. Agent Tucker then took up my station... Oh, hello, Shep. Be through with this in a second.
Okay, Frank.
Took up my station and continued surveillance. That's all. Thanks, Miss Frederick. I'll keep a copy and one for the files.
Yes, sir.
You can get Agent Tucker's report in the morning and attach it to this one.
Yes, sir. I will.
So the boy is still at Hiller's apartment?
Yeah. He was till six tonight. Shep, didn't Hiller once defend Dixie Smith on a narcotics charge?
Yeah. He's been tied up with Smith for years.
That's not so hot for the kid, is it?
That's what I'm afraid of, Frank. When the boy was here, I tried to convince him that he was on the wrong side of the fence.
I know.
If we could only have located Dixie while we still had the boy.
You think the boy knows where Dixie is?
No, I'm sure he doesn't. But I'm equally sure Hiller does.
Yeah?
Frank, we've got to keep a close watch on that kid, for his own good. A cheap chiseler like Max Hiller wouldn't be taking care of him out of the goodness of his heart.
He certainly wouldn't. Hiller's cooking up something. What is it?
I don't know. But whatever it is, you can bet it won't be any good for Johnny.
Go on, kid. You can have a little drink. It'll do you good.
No thanks, Max. I just want...
I know. You just want to get out of here, don't you? Getting kind of restless, huh? Yeah, it's only 48 hours and you'll be on your way south.
Max?
Yeah?
I'm really going with Dixie?
You bet you are, kid. Of course, Dixie won't be leaving from here. You meet him on the road.
Just me and Dixie? Going to Florida?
Great big Cadillac car. Fellow named Rudy Orman will pick you up here.
Max, I wish I could talk to Dixie. Right now.
Huh?
If I could just say hello to him, I want to tell him
You want to talk to Dixie?
Could I, Max?
I don't know, kid.
Just to say hello and tell him... Tell him I'm glad to be going along.
Well...
I know it's crazy, but it's 48 hours to wait, Max.
Just to say hello, huh?
That's all. Could I?
I don't know why not. It's the least he could do for you.
Ah, Max, thanks a lot.
The least he could do. Of course, he'll probably be sore at me, but I guess I can take that.
Hello?
Hello, Ma. This is Max. Let me speak to Dixie, will you?
Sure. Hold on.
Will he talk to me, Max?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, Max. What do you want?
Dixie, I'm here with Johnny, and the kid's getting kind of restless. He wanted to say hello to you, Dixie, and...
Are you drunk, Max?
Oh, of course not. All I'm asking...
Never mind if he doesn't feel like talking, Max.
Listen, Dixie. Johnny says never mind if you don't feel like talking, but...
All right. Put him on, you stupid lunkhead. If you don't lay off that bottle...
Sure, Dixie. I knew you'd want to talk to him. Here he is. Here, go ahead, Johnny.
Hello? Dixie?
Hello, Johnny. How's my boy?
I'm fine, thanks, Dixie.
All ready for the big trip, kid?
You bet I am, Dixie.
Good. Well, you stick with Max, Johnny, and I'll be seeing you soon.
Yeah, sure, Dixie.
And Johnny?
Yes?
When you go in the car with Rudy Orman, you do everything he says, understand? You're working for me now, Johnny, and I'm going to take care of you, understand?
I understand, Dixie.
Okay, so long, kid. I'll be seeing you.
So long, Dixie.
Well, what'd he say?
He said... He said I was working for him now. and he was gonna take care of me.
Hello?
Hello, Rudy. You ready to pick up the kid?
Sure, Ma. All set. 8 o'clock tonight in front of Hiller's apartment.
Right. And you know what you're going to do?
Don't worry. I know what to do.
And the subject has remained in Hiller's apartment since his release Tuesday. It is apparent... I'll get it, Miss Tyson. Shepard speaking.
Hello, Shep. Frank.
Yes, Frank.
Shep, I'm in a drugstore opposite Hiller's apartment. A Cadillac car with jersey plates just drove up to the door. The boy came out of the apartment with a suitcase and got in. The car just left. Tucker and Mills are following in our car. They'll keep in contact with you on shortwave.
Okay, Frank. Radio room. This is Agent Shepard. Call me the minute you establish contact with car 19.
We're still on Route 202, now 10 miles west of Doylestown. We can see the Cadillac about 500 yards ahead of us. He's taking it easy, about 40 miles an hour, and doesn't seem to be in any hurry. No suspicion he's being tailed. He's turning left now onto a side road. We're following.
Where's this road go, Rudy?
Oh, it goes up here a piece, and then we come to a farmhouse.
You sure know your way around the dock, don't you? How do you ever find a road like this in the dock, Rudy?
Well, I don't know. I find it.
Is Dixie gonna meet me at the farm?
Maybe.
I hope so. I wanna see Dixie.
Yeah?
Yeah!
He's a friend of yours, huh?
Sure. I'm one of his boys.
That's so.
Uh-huh. Didn't he tell ya?
He couldn't tell me nothing, kid. I never met the guy.
Oh, I thought...
Never laid eyes on him. I'm just doing this job for Ma Thompson. I do the job, I get paid. That's all.
Are we there?
Uh-huh. Hop out, kid.
Where's the farmhouse?
Well, it ain't really a farmhouse, kid. Just that barn there.
Is Dixie in there?
Nope. Hop out, kid.
Okay. Say, I can't see a thing when you turn off those lights.
That's all right. I know my way around here. Take my hand, kid.
You sure this is the place, Rudy?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't see so good.
That's all right. Nothing much you have to see. Okay, stop here.
Rudy, this place gives me the creeps.
Oh, go on inside, kid.
No, I don't want to go in there.
Get in.
Rudy, what is this?
Shut your face and get in there.
No, let me go.
Listen, you stupid little jerk. One more word out of you.
Let go! Dixie!
Dixie! I told you Dixie ain't here, and he ain't gonna be here.
Rudy, let go of me, please. Dixie won't like it if...
Dixie. You crazy little punk. Who do you think is paying me to get rid of you?
What?
Who do you think's paying me? Dixie. Dixie's given me 2 G's to put you where you can't open your mouth again.
No, you're lying.
2 G's cash to shut your mouth for good.
You lie. Dixie, help! Dixie!
Go on, yell your head off. There's nobody in 10 miles from here. That's why we picked this spot. That's why...
Dixie!
Shut up! Shut up, you hear me? Not... one word out of you. Understand?
All right, Jack. Put the spotlight on the barn there.
Okay, kid, come on. We're getting out of here fast.
Hello?
Hello, Ma. This is Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy. How'd it go?
You can tell Dixie he don't have to worry about that certain party. The party is taken care of.
Okay, Rudy. I'll tell him.
And Ma, ask him, can I come around for the dough tonight?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Just a second. Dixie, Rudy wants to know if he can come around for his dough tonight. Sure, Rudy. Anytime you want.
Okay, Ma. I'll be there tonight. So long.
All right, Rudy, that was fine.
Listen, mister, I wasn't going to hurt the kid, I swear.
Yeah, we know. Frank, you take him over to Jersey City headquarters.
Right, Shep.
Listen, mister, you said if I cooperate with the law...
Yeah, we'll put all that down on your record, Rudy. Now, just one more question, and give me the truth. How well do you know Dixie?
I don't know him at all, I swear. I never seen him. Ma hired me.
Okay, Rudy, that's all we want to know.
What about the boy, Shep?
We're taking him along with us for identification.
I wasn't going to hurt the boy, mister, I swear.
Shep?
Yes?
You going to move in on Dixie now?
Uh-huh.
Good luck.
Thanks, Frank. We'll need it.
Yeah?
Is Ma there?
Nah, she went out. Be back in a couple of minutes.
Oh. Well, tell her Rudy Orman was here, will you?
Rudy and, Orman?
Yeah, she's expecting me.
Well, so am I, Rudy. Come on in.
Oh, you're...
Dixie Smith. Glad to know you, Rudy.
Likewise, Dixie. A pleasure.
Well, sit down, Rudy, sit down. Ma will rustle us a drink as soon as she comes back.
Well, I can't stay long, Dixie. I'll just get my dough and get out.
What's the hurry? I could use a little company. You play gin rummy?
No. All I want...
You'll get your dough. You'll get it. Sit down. Relax. Tell me about the kid. Did he give you trouble?
Enough.
Well, that's a shame. I hated to get rid of him, but you know how it is.
Yeah. He had plenty on you, didn't he?
Maybe. Maybe not.
No maybe about it. He had plenty. He told me.
What do you mean he told you?
About your knocking off that federal guy. He saw the whole thing.
I know that little punk talk. I knew it.
Oh, he spilled plenty before I shut him up. He even knew you were using that bowling alley as a front.
Yeah?
Sure. He said you were the biggest operator in town, and the federal narcotics boys were getting wise to you.
All right, all right. He knew too much, and now he's out of the way. I'll get your dough, and you can get out, too.
What's the matter? You sore?
How much do I owe you?
$2,000. What's to get sore about? So you knocked off a federal cop. Happens every day in the week.
Look, wise guy, I got rid of the cop. I got rid of the kid. I'll get rid of anybody else that's too nosy. Here's your $2,000. Go on back to Jersey.
Okay, Dixie. I'm going, but first...
Dixie!
Yeah, I'm in here, in front.
Rudy get there yet?
Yeah, he's in here, and he's on his way out.
Well, don't let him go yet, Dixie. I brought your boys a couple of bottles of beer, and... Where's Rudy?
Where's Rudy? Where's Rudy? Why don't you wear your glasses once in a while?
Who are you, mister?
I'm telling you.
Shut up, Dixie. This guy ain't no Rudy Orman.
What?
I'm afraid I misled you a little, Dixie. My name is Shepard, Federal Bureau of Investigation.
FBI! Don't, Dixie!
Drop the gun, Dixie. Drop it.
Okay.
All right, both of you, put your hands up and keep them up. Dixie?
All right, they're up.
It's okay, Jack. I'm all right. Stay there, I'm opening the door. Keep him covered, Jack. Tucker, send for an ambulance. He's not hurt badly, but he needs attention.
Right, Shep.
Martin.
Yes, Shep?
Bring Johnny up here, will you?
Okay, Shep.
What's the idea, mister?
The idea is identification, Dixie. I want you to meet Johnny Drusack. He was one of your boys, remember? With the testimony of Johnny Drusack, the entire conspiracy involving Dixie, Ma Thompson, Max Hiller, and Rudy Orman was broken. Dixie, for the murder of a federal officer, was convicted and given the death penalty. Max Hiller, as an accomplice after the fact, received a term of life. Ma Thompson and Rudy Orman got 20 years each. Johnny Drusack, because of his youth and help to the state, was put on an extended period of probation. Thus, your FBI closed its files on the case of the Pin Boy.
In the factory. On the farm. In the home.
Hey, Mom, where's the lava soap?
Where's the lava soap? Where's the lava soap? Wherever hands get extra dirty, you'll find L-A-V-A lava soap. Because in every inch of lava's snowy lather, 50,000 tiny scrubbers get the deep dirt from skin crevices, between fingers, around knuckles, and nails. The dirt ordinary wash-ups miss. With lava, hands soiled by machine oil, grease, dirt, come sparkling clean in 30 to 50 seconds. Yet it's amazingly gentle. So no matter what you do, factory, farm, or housework, get the soap that gets the dirt. Get Lava Soap tomorrow. You've been listening to a presentation by American Radio Theater of a lost show from the days of old-time radio, the FBI in Peace and War. The episode, The Pin Boy, produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Nick Richa as Johnny, with Stan Assis as Officer Tucker, Lauren Walton as the guard, Karen Leese as Ma, Ken Leese as Dixie, Pat McNally as Sid and Harry, Greg Porter as Max, Chuck Royalty as Special Agent Shepard, Dan Schindler as Agent Bailey, Beth Schlansky as Miss Fredericks and Mrs. Powers, Kim Turner as Rudy, Mark Whitworth as Eddie, other roles performed by the cast. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music from Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com and from the original series. The Pin Boy was originally broadcast in June 30th, 1949. Script written by Louis Pelletier and Jack Finney. I'm Lauren Walton, your announcer. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Good evening, friends. From the beautiful Trianon Ballroom on Firestone Boulevard in the city of Southgate, California, the brightest, gayest entertainment spot on the West Coast, it's Trianon Time. Trianon Time presenting tonight on Welcoming Night, the music of the great Horace Hite and his world-famous musical nights, with a fine list of arrangements especially for your listening and dancing entertainment. It's a real pleasure to welcome to the Trianon Bandstand, Horace Hite. Here he is.
Well, thank you very much. I see you have a new word in your vocabulary. Great. Thank you very much, Phil. Friend, it is grand to be back home again with everyone. We're broadcasting from the Trianon here in Southgate. We have a lovely crowd, very fine-looking people. Everybody seems to be happy and having a grand time. First selection we're going to play is Margie. Broadcasting from the Trianon Ballroom in Southgate, California. Now comes a brand new song with a very swell boy. Gene Walsh is his name. The arrangement by Dick Hummer. The new song called One of These Days.
Will be blue, each little dream will be peaches and cream, my baby, one of these days. One of these days, our ship is due, we'll smile again, although I don't know when, but maybe, one of these days, the daffodils remind us of spring to be. A lucky star will find us, just wait and see. One of these days, it'll come true. Our rainbow land will be all that we planned, my baby. One of these days. Thank you.
is one we hope you'll enjoy, a Buzz Adlam arrangement of Brazil. Begin to begin. Thank you. gentlemen. The musical night broadcasting from the Trianon Ballroom in Southgate, California. And now it's going to be Shorty Sharrock with his trumpet. Stepping down to the microphone to give his rendition of Confessin'. Shorty Sharrock. That was Shorty Sharrock, a boy that is going to start his own orchestra in the near future. We're wishing him all the success in the world. We want him to follow in the footsteps of other people that have left our band, like Alvino Ray and Frankie Carl. Here's also a great artist ready to step up to the microphone, Fred Lowry. Happy smile on Fred's face as he whistles his latest recording, Whispering. Fred Lowry, who always stops the show. Now we're going to hear from those trumpets in Riding to Glory on a Trumpet. Four of them.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time.